new jobless claims fall for a change.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis, a Greek debt rescue that travels the Autobahn. And Toyota trying to move forward on shutting down an American plant. All that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about 0.33%. The NASDAQ about 0.1%. And the Dow higher by 40 points, 10,436. European markets are mixed right now. And Asian shares were down today. The Nikkei and the Hang Seng each lost more than about 1%. The number of new applicants for jobless benefits was down last week. The Labor Department says claims for unemployment insurance shrank by 29,000. But snowstorms and bad weather in the Northeast are still having an effect on those numbers. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She joins us live from Chicago to give us a little analysis this morning. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Now, on the surface, I'm thinking, oh, all right, jobless claims are lower. That's good. But in fact, today's report follows a couple of weeks where the numbers jumped. I mean, what does it really tell us about the fundamentals of the economy, Diane, especially where the weather is concerned?
Well, what we saw was an economy that is losing momentum in the first quarter with inclement weather just
Losing momentum? You said losing momentum?
Yes, losing momentum. After almost 6% growth in the fourth quarter, we're now less than 3%, it looks like, in the first quarter.
So, but I thought the economy was on the rise.
Well, you know, rise is one of those things that happens in fits and starts. And in this economy, unfortunately, the recovery remains extremely muted and fragile. In fact, we should be gaining momentum right now, but we're seeing growth slow. It's kind of like hitting a traffic jam after being able to maybe accelerate for just a block or so.
So a snowstorm or a couple of snowstorms in the Northeast, I mean, the economy is so fragile that can derail these jobless claims numbers.
Exactly. There's just no cushion out there that people can sort of wade through literally the heavy snowstorms and make it to the other side without having to think that they actually lost their job.
We also got productivity numbers out, Diane, today that on paper look pretty good, right?
Exactly.
Productivity jumped at an annual rate of, 6.9%? I mean, what does the number mean to everyday Americans?
Well, a productivity jump because employment costs drop. Those people who are working for less and working harder than ever before. So what's saving profits is actually coming out of the skin of Main Street.
Diane Swonk joining us from Chicago this morning. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
The Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou heads to Berlin tomorrow to ask for a European Union rescue. Now, that country's debt has sparked a crisis, and Greece has already announced some big measures to pay it down. The meeting's in Berlin because Germany will likely have a final say on any bailout. And that's where Quentin Peel is. He's chief reporter in Germany for the Financial Times. Welcome, sir.
Good morning.
Now, I thought Germany wanted these cuts that Greece is making. Why are they pushing back now?
Well, they've been pretty warm in welcoming these budget cuts. They did indeed push the Greeks to go much further than where they were a month ago, and the new cuts will add a great deal to reducing the deficit. Having said that, the Germans are still very, very cautious about handing out any money. They say, look, you Greeks retire at 53 or 58, and we retire at 67. How on earth do you expect us to subsidize you to behave like that?
And why is Germany so important to this debate?
Because Germany is the primary source of money for any Eurozone loan that would come out. Much the most would come from Germany, from sheer size. And because Germany is, if you like, the guardian of having a stable euro and a strong currency. They say, we didn't give up the Deutschmark to have a weak currency. And if we have governments that are spendthrift and run up vast debts, we will have a weak currency. So it's got to stop.
Quentin Peel, the chief correspondent in Germany for the Financial Times. Quentin, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thursday, March 4th, 2010, at marketplace.org. State governors are holding their breath today, waiting for word from the Department of Education on which states made it to the final round for a chance at some serious cash. The department is handing out $4 billion in grants as part of a new program called Race to the Top. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
Race to the Top is all about competition, which states are doing the best job turning around low-achieving schools and effectively measuring student performance. 40 states and D.C. applied for the first round of cash. 10 or 12 are likely to find out today that they are finalists.
And in April, the expectation is a small number, 3, 4, 5 maybe, will get awards.
That's Joel Packer of the Committee for Education Funding. He says the problem for states that don't get money in this round is that many have already counted their chickens, if you will.
Some states assumed they were getting this money and kind of put it in their proposed budgets. So in some states, depending how much they assume they were getting this money, there could be a negative consequence of not getting money simply because now they're going to have a bigger hole in their state budget.
In New York's proposed budget, for example, the governor assumed the state would get $750 million from Race to the Top. If that doesn't happen, a state education spokesman says the impact would be significant. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Silicon Valley meets State Department today in Washington. It's one of a series of encounters between high-tech execs and government officials on an issue of mounting importance to U.S. foreign policy, internet freedom overseas. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, the stakes are high for U.S. business as well.
At a Senate hearing this week, Democrat Dick Durbin sent a blunt warning to American technology companies: help repressive regimes censor the web, spy on email, or jam social networks, and you could face the long arm of the law.
Companies who think this doesn't affect them or that it's just about Google are in for a rude awakening.
That's Elisa Massimino of Human Rights First. She says in supporting Google's fight against Chinese censorship, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has articulated a new human right to connect freely to the internet without government interference or punishment.
The degree to which companies don't get on board with this voluntarily, I think they're going to increasingly see regulation and even criminal sanction.
There is a voluntary code of conduct for companies pledging not to help suppress dissent, but only Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft are on board so far. The administration, meanwhile, is providing about $20 million to support activist groups and new technology to get around internet censorship overseas. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Facebook is still a private company, but with 400 million users and a value of more than $11 billion, political lobbyists are keen on its worth, too. As Brett Neely reports, all sorts of political tactics are creeping into the social media sensation.
Dan Porter runs OMG Pop, a game provider on social networks like Facebook. The games are free, but players can pay companies like his real money for virtual currency to reach the next level. A few months ago, Porter was looking online for ads that could link to his games. That's when he came across a deal offering Facebook users free virtual currency if they wrote a letter to Congress.
And that was saying, wow, all I needed to do to get my currency in the game was to send an email to my congressman or my senator telling them that I wanted to get health insurance, quote unquote, right.
Porter saw the sponsor was the Get Health Reform Right Coalition, which is backed by Blue Cross Blue Shield insurers. The online news site Talking Points Memo reported the coalition hired a D.C. company called 720 Strategies for a letter-writing campaign. In a statement, the coalition said the ads were unauthorized, and their advertisers don't offer anything of value in exchange for letters. The president of 720 Strategies is Pam Fielding. She says her company never pays for letters.
There's nothing more important in the work we do than ensuring that a message sent to a lawmaker is viewed for what it is, and that is a genuine message of concern from a real constituent in a real district.
But Talking Points Memo says 720 Strategies subcontracted ads for the letter-writing campaign to an online marketer. That firm, Web Clients Affiliate Network, didn't return calls. Game company owner Dan Porter says he often sees these kinds of subcontractors promote ad campaigns by offering consumers freebies to maximize clicks.
Actually, kind of almost like the financial system. You know how you take this mortgage and it's chopped up so many times and it ends up so far down the line that some investment guy in Austria doesn't understand that he's actually holding South Florida mortgages. It's a little bit the same thing.
With midterm elections coming, don't be surprised if you see more offers like this on sites like Facebook. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
if Toyota didn't have enough to think about, it's now fighting with California over the state's only auto plant. Toyota wants to close the plant that had been a joint operation between it and General Motors. GM pulled out last August, and Toyota plans to end production at the end of this month. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has the blow-by-blow.
The plant is located in Fremont, California, where unemployment is already around 16%. When it closes, another 5,000 people will lose their jobs. A new economic study finds that, indirectly, the closure could cost the state an additional 20,000 jobs, plus more than $1 billion in lost tax revenues. UC Berkeley professor Harley Shaken led the study. He says Toyota would also lose money if the plant closes.
The total labor cost at this factory is less than what Toyota pays in its main plant in Georgetown, Kentucky.
But Toyota spokesman Mike Goss sees it differently.
After GM left, we studied it carefully, but in this current economic environment, it's just not feasible for one automaker to run that facility.
Toyota has pledged $250 million for workers losing their jobs, and Goss says the decision to close the plant is final. California officials aren't giving up yet. They're headed for Japan, where they'll make their case directly to Toyota executives. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, the group Consumers for Financial Reform produced this video for the website funnyordie.com. It features former Saturday Night Live presidential impersonators urging President Obama to pass financial regulation. Even Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford, well, Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase got into the act.
The only way to stop these corrupt banks and credit card companies is to pardon Richard Nixon.
He means you got to get that Consumer Protection Act through Congress.
Of course, some of the real-life presidents are partly responsible for undoing financial regs, which led to the bank crisis in the first place. Comedy? No. Irony. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org, and grab the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.